couple places. Go ahead and turn to Scripture. If you want to be looking to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and hold your finger there and flip back to some very familiar Scripture in Luke chapter number 2. I want to kick it off kind of in Luke chapter 2, but I want to bring the message tonight out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So as you find your place in these two places, let's stand together to reverence the reading of God's precious Word. And to those of you that get the devotions that I send out, this might start out like the devotion that I sent out recently, but that's not where I'm going with it. That's not the entirety of where I'm going with it. I may mention something that I sent out in that devotion, but I want to get to the message that God placed upon our heart. And just a simple thought from the Word of God, but I believe it's something. I honestly had it on my heart, and I didn't know Preacher Mark was going to do this tonight or not. I don't know if it's something for tomorrow. We do pray for us. Some of us going out on the street tomorrow. We've never got to preach. I told my wife a while ago, I said, we've never got to preach out there where we're going, but I've got something on my heart. I didn't know if it was for tomorrow, tonight or whatever. I believe the Lord have a shout tonight, maybe tomorrow also. But we're going down to Winston. We'll give out some blankets to some homeless people. Brother Preston, Brother Chris is going with me, along with Brother Craig Shue. So do pray for us, Lord, to keep us safe. Got 235 blankets rolled up in the back of the van with a gospel track in them. And then, good Lord willing, we're taking another load. Some of us are going to go up to Asheville on Friday and witness to some more homeless people. So pray, Lord, help us not just give them a blanket, but give them the gospel, give them the truth and the Word of God. Found your place in Luke chapter number 2. I'm going to start reading just a few verses here, and then we'll be going over to 1 Corinthians in just a minute. Very familiar scripture to us tonight. And you say, well, it's not getting Christmas yet. It's not just a Christmas message what I have tonight, but it is talking about the birth of a Savior. The Bible said in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 8, Luke chapter 2, verse number 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name once again tonight, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to stand here, Lord. God, you knew, Lord, even before we did tonight, Lord, the message you placed upon our heart. God, you knew who'd be here and who wouldn't. I pray if it be somebody here tonight lost. Lord, I know it's Wednesday night. God, I know it's December. Lord, I know what time it is. God, but I just pray, dear Lord, maybe somebody here tonight that's lost, dear Lord. And that's the reason for the message tonight. I pray, Father, would you send it where you'd have it to go? Lord, make the difference tonight, Father. I pray. I need you, Lord. And I pray you'll help us tonight, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And you can be seated. I mentioned the devotion we sent out. And part of what I sent out in devotion, I do feel led to touch on this. And some of you get mad at me if you've got this on your social media website or whatever. But there's a post that we keep seeing going around and around and around. Sometimes I believe we pass things around without really thinking about them or whatever. But there's a post that I keep seeing online that said something along the line that an unplanned pregnancy saved the world. Can I tell you, that is not an unplanned pregnancy. That pregnancy was planned from the beginning of time. And I believe sometimes we post things of that reading, so don't get mad at me now. I'm not mad at you if you got that on your website, but I would challenge you to get that off your website. It was not an unplanned pregnancy. That makes it sound like that Jesus was a child of Joseph and Mary. Can I tell you, he was conceived through the Holy Spirit of God, born of a virgin, amen, and it was not an unplanned pregnancy. God foreordained that before we ever got here as a way to redeem sinful man. I think he wasn't sinful man like us, but he was God in the flesh, come to die on the cross for our sins. I got some good news for you tonight. And that's what maybe if as a title for it tonight, just got some good news for us tonight, that a Savior was born. Now the different religious groups, me and Brother Dirk was talking as we come out of the prayer room, and a lot of different religious groups say, well, we're almost like what you have, but just one or two little things that we got different. And the thought process of going through that is, the biggest difference is who do you say Jesus is? Lo and behold, our pastor jumps up, preached up here on who do you say Jesus is. Let us sit down and then ask us who we say Jesus is. Can I tell you, Jesus was the Son of God, but he was not only the Son of God, he was God the Son. He was God the flesh. flesh. These religious groups, the Muslims will tell you, the Jehovah's Witnesses, other groups will tell you that Jesus was a Son of God, but they will not admit the fact that He was God in the flesh. There's a big difference between being just a Son of God. Can I tell you, I'm saved tonight, I'm a Son of God. If you're saved tonight, you're a Son of God tonight. But He wasn't just a Son of God, He was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh that put on a robe of flesh to come down here to die, that we wouldn't have to die and go to hell. The angels had some good news that they wanted to share, and I've got some good news to share with us tonight. Some of you already know the good news, and I'm glad you do. But can I tell you, there's a world that's dying and going to hell that needs to hear the good news. But I love that message you preach Sunday, preacher, about going to all the world to share the gospel. Every creature needs a preacher. These people that's dying and going to hell, and there's people that you know and people I know is going to die and go to hell, and we have an opportunity. It's not just a duty, but it's an opportunity. It's a privilege to share the good news. I like this right here. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Amen. Hey, you don't have to be afraid tonight. You may be here tonight and you're lost. You've never truly accepted the Lord. You've never truly heard the gospel. You've never truly believed the gospel. Can I tell you, you ought to fear death tonight, but you ought not be afraid of the gospel message. Shouldn't be afraid of the house of God. Now, I tell you what, I believe as a lost person would come in, I believe you ought to feel welcome, but not maybe comfortable. I believe there's some places a lost man can go that calls itself a church and they can sit there and be real comfortable. But I hope you feel welcome tonight, but I hope you're not comfortable. I hope the Holy Spirit of God is a poking and a prodding you and a stirring you up and turning you around and showing you what you need to do. We have good news tonight. He said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." I like the next part. It said, "Which shall be to all people." I'm glad the good news, the gospel message tonight, it's not just for a select few. It wasn't just for Israel. God made a plan that the Gentiles could get in. I'm thank God that He did that. It's not for the rich. It's not for the well-educated. It's not for those that have the prominence of the world. I watched the days they drug the former president around. I don't say it disrespectful. They drug his body around. I thought they was finally done with him and turned the news on a while ago and they done shipped him out to Houston and all that. But can I tell you, there's no special place in heaven for presidents. He's one or two. I hope he was saved. And I hope he was. He's either at the feet of Jesus tonight or he's burning in the walls of hell tonight. I hope he was saved. I hope he was ready to go. Hey, can I tell you, I hope you're ready. They're not going to swing wide the gate and say, "Here comes the president," or "Here comes this person or that person." I'm glad that the foot of the cross is level for all men. It's good news to all people. I'm glad it don't matter how much you know about the Bible or don't know about the Bible. God wants to share the message with you. I got some good news tonight. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I might have said this here before, but if you look in your King James Bible, if you got a King James Bible, and I hope that's what you got tonight, and that's what we use here. If you look at the spell, even the spellings of the word in the King James Bible differs from the spell. The word Savior in the Bible, if you look at it, it should say S-A-V-I-O-U-R. You said that's just an old English spelling, and you can take the U out, and it still has the same meaning. If you look the two up in the dictionary, it don't have the same meaning. You can take that O out of it, that spelling there, and what that means is a Savior, one who saves. How many people here in the fire department? To a person in a burning house, you could be their Savior, S-A-V-I-O-R. But you can't be the S-A-V-I-O-U-R. Because if you'll check that out, and the correct dictionary definition with that U in the middle of it, it means the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He's the only one that can do that. You say, "Well, how can I know the difference between the one and the other?" If you look right in the middle of His name, it's got I-O-U right in the middle of it. Good way to rememberize that. I owe you, Lord. I owe you, Lord. I'm glad that He saved me, and I'm glad I owe Him everything for what God's done for me. I'm not ashamed of Him tonight. But I was choir, youth choir, you did a tremendous job singing, "I'm not ashamed." Can I challenge you? Don't ever be ashamed of the Lord. Never be ashamed of Him. You fall in love with Him, you won't be ashamed of Him. With this thought in mind, the good news that was proclaimed to the shepherds, to all men. With that same thought in mind, flip over now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Maybe somebody here tonight that's lost. Can I just ask this question? How many people in here got saved on a Wednesday night? Anybody here got saved on a Wednesday night? You know, we sang that song that was on a Monday and Tuesday. And hold your hand up one more. Just keep them up just for a minute. See, you can get saved on a Wednesday night.
Amen.
I got saved on a Sunday. We'd go around the room. Maybe it was Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays and can't remember the day it was. Maybe somebody here tonight just needs, you might not remember the day it was, but I promise you, you'll remember the occurrence of it. The Bible said in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." As the angel would step out and appear to the shepherds, said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." It's the same message we have here tonight. I got some good news. That's what the gospel is, the good news. The good news was a Savior was born to take away the sin of the world. We'll go out on the street tomorrow, good Lord willing, and we'll get to share the gospel with some people that's sleeping under the bridge tonight. And some of them got liquor running through their bodies. They got drugs running through their veins. But can I tell you, the same good news that would save one in the house of God is the same one that would save them out there tonight that's laying drunk under the ditch. I've seen time and time again, and I've asked them, you ever thought about getting saved? And I heard them say, "Preacher, I've laid there all night." I said, "God, there got to be something better than this. Can I tell you, there's something better than what this world has to offer." And it's the good news of the gospel. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." It's not enough just to have a head knowledge of the Lord. You got to have a heart knowledge of the Lord. Can't tell who He is or how He's tied in here, but seen a young man from not too far away from our church right here, locked up in jail. History of preachers in his family. I'm not talking about being some church and just a flake out there in the world, not know the truth and the Word of God. I'm talking about a young man that's had the Word of God preached to him, the truth of the Word of God shared with him. Sent him locked up in prison just last week. And I thought, what a shame to have the gospel message, to have the truth that's been instilled. The people that have invested their life in his life to share the gospel message and to still reject the message of the gospel. And I watched as he sit in the service inside the prison. And he sit in the back and he played and gone around and played and gone around. And in my heart I had to think, no doubt that's probably the reason that he never got in the house of God. So I chat, there may be a young person. And you know how to sit back there when the preacher's preaching. You know how to hide and play and dodge this and dodge that. And I'll just shut up. The preacher, I'll hide over here. And the preacher shut up in a little while. And I'll pull over here and he won't see me here and he won't see me there. You can hide out from the preacher. You can hide out from the message. But I promise you one day you may be in a place where you wish you'd listen. You wish you'd listen to the man of God. You wish you'd listen to the things of God. I challenge you, if God's speaking to your heart tonight, listen to what the Holy Spirit of God says. We were down in the same area of Winston we're going to tomorrow. We was actually close to Baptist Hospital one time, and we seen a man sitting out there beside this little cement wall, and we pulled in. The first thing he did was slid his beer around and hit his beer behind. "Preacher Mark, I wasn't going to get out and hammer on his beer. The beer was a smoke. We ain't going to fight the smoke. We're going to fight the fire. You put the fire out and the smoke will go out. You firefighters, you don't go put the smoke out, do you? You put the fire out and eventually the smoke will go out." So we started just trying to just make conversation with him. And we was leading up to the gospel. And he's telling us he's saved and he's all right with God. And he knows he's all right with God. And he's ready to go meet the Lord. And he said, "But I know one thing." He said, "God sure sent y'all out here to talk to me." I said, "Is that a fact? Do you believe that?" I said, "I believe that. Do you believe that?" And he said, "I sure do." I said, "Let me ask you a question. And if you're saved, you're right with God, you know you're ready to meet God, you know you're ready to check out, what did God tell me to come tell you? You told me you knew that God sent me, and I know what God's told me to come and tell you. But you telling me that you don't need anything from God, that you're all right with God, and God sent me out here to tell you nothing?" Can I tell you, if the Holy Ghost is ringing your heart tonight, the preacher might not know the right words to say to get it down to the sin that you're involved in, to get it down to what you're hiding maybe from mom and daddy, or what you're trying to hide from the husband or the wife, or what you're trying to hide from the Sunday school teacher, or what you're trying to hide from the preacher. But the Holy Ghost is ringing your heart tonight. As Oliver B. Green used to say, if your phones are ringing, would you answer it tonight? He said here, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you also have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest you have believed in vain." It's not enough just to believe that Jesus was God, that you have to believe into him for the salvation. The devil believes he's God. Devil believes he died on the cross. Devil believes he rose the third day. I believe the devil believes he's soon coming back. And I've shared this, I know, before, but I had a Satanist that told me that. I told him, I said, "I know you can't speak for all the Satanists. I can't speak for all the Christians, but we as the children of God, we believe it's close to time for the Lord to come back." I said, "What do you Satanists, what do y'all believe?" He said, "We believe the showdown's about to arrive." I said, "It's going to be a showdown, all right." I told him, I said, "Your God, your little G-O-D God, he done got kicked out of heaven. What makes you think he's going to win?" He said, "You don't understand." He said, "The armies have increased since then." I said, "No, sir, you don't understand. It ain't going to take but one to fight our battle, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to start with the sword that cometh out of his mouth, which is the word of God." Amen. Same boy, right after that, shared the gospel with him. He left. I was trying to witness to some boys, and he come up, interfere. He messed up, but he said, "What does the Bible say?" So we started using the word of God. He walked off and come back again. I got the Bible out again. About the third lap around, I said, "Sir, you know I'm telling you the truth. You wouldn't keep coming back." Preacher Mark, I know you heard me tell this, but I got to share it tonight. I'm going to. It's what the Lord told me. But the boy come back, and I really was praying that God would save him, that God would change him, God would make a difference in his life. We left. He didn't get saved. We went back a couple or 3 months later, went back to that same prison. Some of you guys have been with, I know Chris has been to that particular prison with me, that had a riot back there in the cell block where he was at. And I told the chaplain, I said, "I'm going to find that Satanist." He said, "I can't let you go in." But he said, "You can go by the window, see if you can find him." And had a track in my pocket. "If you die today, would you go to heaven?" And I seen him, he was looking out the window. Just so happened, I said, "It just so happened." I believe God did it. Brought him to the window as I was going by, and I called him up there. And I've been praying for him, brother. And I held that track up and said, "If you die today, would you go to heaven?" I pointed up heaven, I pointed down, and threw his head back and laughed at me and laughed and laughed and laughed. I don't think I'll ever get that picture of his face out of my mind as long as I live. 3 months later, we went back again. I told the chaplain, I said, "I want to go see that boy again." He said, "It's too late." I said, "What do you mean it's too late?" He said, "The boy went crazy, went wild." Said he climbs the tables and he's screaming, "Somebody help me, somebody help me." He said, we took him and moved him to a different cell block, thought maybe it was a gang. He said he's climbing a wall. They had a shelf up there where the TV was, and then the right that had in there, they bust the TV. Said he even went so far as to climb up on the TV shelf, and he's screaming, "Somebody help me, I see him coming, I see him coming." You think what you want to think about me tonight, a preacher, I believe he's seeing the demons of hell. He said, "I love the God you hate, and I hate the God you serve." Can I tell you, I believe the God that he loved, his little G-O-D God, he's come to collect on him. Hey, can I tell you, if you're lost tonight, the devil don't love you. The devil don't care for you. You can be the greatest servant the devil's got. He still hates you. He can't love you because he can't give you anything he don't have himself. Climbed a wall screaming, "Somebody help me, somebody help me." He said, "Preacher, we had to take him from the prison and put him in an insane asylum down in Mississippi." I pray, "God, would you give him one more chance? Would you give him his right mind back one more time, God? Please, God, would you?" I have no idea whatever happened to that boy, but the last I heard, he was still climbing the walls, and he was still climbing. He was still crying out, "Somebody help me, somebody help me." Can I tell you, if he dies and goes to hell, he'll still be crying the same thing, but I believe he'll see this preacher's face. I believe he'll see that track, Brother Mark, that I held up. I was praying. I want to see him get saved. I thought, "God, give me one more chance to share it with him." He laughed it off. I don't see nobody here laughing today. But I tell you, if you ain't paying attention when the man of God's preaching, if you ain't paying attention when the Sunday school teacher's teaching, if you ain't paying attention to what the Word of God says, you might not be laughing on the outside, but you can be laughing on the inside. And can I tell you tonight, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. The clarity of the gospel. The Savior was born. That boy wouldn't have to die and go to hell. He wouldn't have to climb the walls. Right. I'd rather see him climb a pew and stand a pew and shout and praise God. Yeah. Do you realize tonight? If you're saved tonight, you got more of a reason to jump that pew than you do to sit in it. Amen. That's right. We've got something to be happy about tonight. Yeah. I'm not going to hell. We've got good news. He said, "For I delivered unto you first of all." Verse number 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Can I tell you, the writer of the gospel, the writer of this scripture here tonight, he had to receive it. I had to receive it just like everybody else. And here it is. You ain't just born a Christian. You ain't saved because mom and daddy is. You ain't saved because grandpa was. You ain't saved because you helped build the church. You ain't saved because you hold a position in the church. If you're saved tonight, you had to receive the gospel message. You had to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Mom and daddy can't get it for you. Grandpa can't wheel you in. But the Savior died. He was born that you wouldn't have to die and go to hell. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. I'm glad I received him. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Here is the gospel message that we have. The Bible said in verse number 1 that this is the gospel. I'm glad that he was born, but the reason that he was born was to die for our sins. Jesus wasn't born and one day woke up and thought, you mean I got to die? He knew when he left heaven. The gospel wasn't extra forth or wasn't no afterthought. Somebody said that Calvary was a plan B. Where'd he get that from? Well, no plan B. He knew when he left heaven, he was coming to die for this preacher, to die for your sins. There was one reason he didn't come to set up an earthly kingdom. That's what they wanted him to do. That's why they wouldn't receive him. That's why they couldn't accept him. He wasn't here for an earthly kingdom. You looking for some kind of earthly movement around here to stir you into salvation? You just got to believe the gospel. Amen. We dropped in at a church coming back from Florida one time. And dropped in on Sunday morning down in Troutman at a good friend of ours church down there. And I noticed there was two or three people that was in the church that just kind of looked a little bit rougher than everybody else. I'm not saying that being disparaging toward them. I'll tell you why I said it in just a minute. When we was leaving, I asked the preacher, I said, there was one of them actually sitting on the pew beside me and my wife. There was another sitting over here and another one over. I asked the preacher, I said, that guy sit beside me. I said, what's the deal with him? He said, well, we have a ministry. He said, we go down to the truck stop. We cook a meal on Sundays. We go down to the truck stop and we tell them truckers in there, y'all want a good home-cooked meal? You come to the house of God with us, we'll feed you a home-cooked meal. He said, I believe we're truck drivers. I said, preacher, I'm pretty sure that guy might not be a truck driver. I said, God's called. He knew God called me to the homeless to reach him. He said, go find out. So I went out there and got talking to him. First one, he was homeless. Second one was homeless. God locked me in on that third one, get to talk to him. The other two didn't want to have a whole lot to say, but that third one just seemed like I kind of connected with him. And I got talking to him, and he said, well, I said, well, may he sit on that pew with me? He trembled. And he asked my wife, he sat there and trembled, just shook out. I knew the Holy Ghost was, I didn't know what he was, if he's a truck driver, homeless, whatever, but I know one thing. I know the Holy Ghost was dealing with him. And I said, sir, can I talk to you about the Lord? I said, where are you at with the Lord? He said, I've had a lot of religious experiences. I said, boy, I did too. I said, but there wasn't one that ever done anything to change me. That's the day I got born again. I said, sir, have you ever had a religious experience of getting born again, being made a new creature? He said, I sure hadn't, preacher. I said, well, sir, you ain't ready to meet God. You need to give your heart to the Lord, preacher. He didn't get saved that day, but I'm glad I got to share the good news with him. Amen. The gospel that I'm trying to share with you tonight. How that Jesus left heaven, come down here for one purpose, to die on a cross for our sins. Amen. See, my job is over when I share the gospel with them. You say, preacher, I want to do what the pastor said. I want to share the gospel with the world, but I can't get anybody to get saved. Can I tell you? I can't either. You know why you can't? It's not your job to. You can plant the corn in the ground, but you can't make the corn grow. You can water it. You can fertilize it. You can do cultivate and all you need to do on that, but it's up to God to make it to grow. Can I tell you tonight, I can't make you get saved. I ain't never saved anybody, but what I can do, I can plant the seed of the Word of God in somebody's heart, and the Holy Spirit does His job well, and He knows how to work it in your heart, till one day you sit back there and your heart's about to beat out of your chest and you can't help it. You got to just take off and run down the aisle. Amen. A buddy of mine talks about when he got saved. He said, I believe I got saved halfway down the aisle. He said, I got that altar. They could have told me Jack and Jill went up the hill. He said, I've still been saved. And I'm not against working with people in the altar. And I believe we ought to do that. I believe there's a right way and a wrong way to do that. But I believe when the Holy Spirit's done planted that seed in somebody's heart and they've heard the gospel and know what to do, they don't know they can hear Jack and Jill went up the hill. They already know what God's told them to do. Had a guy down in Florida one time. One of my volunteers said, "Preacher, I don't know what to tell this guy in the cell." Said, "Come over here." I went over and a guy in the cell said, "Preacher, if I get saved, I'm going to ask you a serious question. There's certain things that we are told in that prison. We have a duty. We have to report it." He said, "Preacher, if I get saved, do I have to tell about a murder that I helped in that nobody knows about?" What's your quick answer on that? Well, I'll tell you what mine was. I said, "Sir, the fact you even asked that question, God's already told you what to do." I said, "Let me tell you what I do before I die and go to hell where there's everlasting torment and never get out of hell. I tell you what I do. I confess to a murder I didn't do before I die and go to hell." I don't mean that just being a smart, wouldn't you? Before I die and go to hell, I'd rather spend a lifetime in prison and go to heaven than get out of doing something that I've done and die and go to hell. I'm glad I'm saved tonight.
Amen.
Jesus come to die. I'm glad it didn't end with the death. He said, "For I deliver unto you." First of all, that's the first thing you got to realize, that Jesus died for our sins.
Yes.
Another guy told me one time, he said, he was an attorney, and he said, "I'm very intelligent." In about 45 minutes, he explained to me how very intelligent he was. He said, I wasn't a Christian for years. He said, "Now I'm a Christian." He said, "But the thing is," he said, "there's just one part of that." It's that one thing we was talking about. He said, "One part of that I just don't really understand." He said, "That's the fact that Jesus would die and be resurrected." He said, "I just don't believe that. I'm too intelligent to believe that." He said, "But they said I have to believe that to be a Christian. So I tell them I believe it." He said, but really I don't believe it." And then he crossed the line. He said, "What difference does it make?" I said, "I'm glad you asked. The difference between heaven and hell. My Bible says that if thou shalt, I can quote it, man, I quote it all the time. That thou shalt, Romans chapter number 10. Lord help me, I quote this over and over. But I don't want to mess it up. Y'all pray for me. I love this scripture. I can't believe I can't quote that. Maybe God wants me to read it tonight. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart," it's Romans 10 and 9, "that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead."
Amen.
"From the dead thou shalt be saved."
Amen.
If you don't believe he rose from the dead, thou shalt not be saved. It's that simple. The gospel is that simple. You either believe it or not. You say, "Well, I say I believe it, but I don't really believe it." You're not really saved. I still can't figure it all out, but I believe it. We have to believe that Jesus died. We've got to believe the reason. He was God in the flesh. He wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just flesh and blood like us. He didn't have that Adam nature about him. He was conceived through the Holy Spirit of God. He wasn't conceived by Joseph. He came to here one purpose, to die on that cross for our sins. And we're back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." Here it is, verse number 3. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." You know how we believe it? The scriptures. So, "Preacher, I'm having doubts about my salvation." Let me tell you how you can get some assurance of it. Through the scriptures. I know people have struggled. It's a real struggle. And I don't tell anybody, if you've ever doubted your salvation, you're not saved. I won't tell them because I don't believe it. But a man named John the Baptist, when he was in prison, about to be beheaded, he made a statement. He said, "Go ask Christ, is he the one or not?" That's what he said. You get assurance through the scriptures. Feelings change. Thoughts change. People change. You say, "Well, the preacher give me assurance of my salvation." You might not even like that preacher 10 years from now. You might find out something bad, but you don't like. You won't get assurance from the preacher. You won't get assurance from the brethren. You'll get assurance. True assurance will come from the Word of God. It don't change. Bro, I used to have trouble. I got saved at a young age. It was on a Sunday morning. I've got to stand and preach. I got saved at Haymet Baptist Church. I've stood almost in the exact spot where I got saved. There's a side door with an exit, and I get over and stand sometime. And I talk about that's what happened. The devil had the exit, and the Lord moved in. But because I was young, I can't tell you if it was January or July. I can't tell you if it was the 14th or the 24th or whatever. But I tell you one thing, and the devil used to fight me about that. Maybe it's to help somebody tonight. And the devil would say, well, you people stand, I got saved May the 20th, 1942, and I like it, but I couldn't do that. And the devil said, well, you can't do that. You know what I can do? I can take him back to that spot where God moved in and he had to move out. Can't find in the scripture, Preacher Mark. I got to know it was May or January or February. I don't know if they even had when the scriptures wrote. They had, well, they did have months back in, but I don't know if the same months we had. But I do find that I have to believe that he died on the cross for my sins and that I was a sinner and received him into my heart. According to the scriptures, you'll find assurance of the scriptures. Then it goes on to say in verse number 4, and that he was buried. It don't end with that scripture. I'm glad he was buried. If he wasn't buried, there wasn't him. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. Died on that cross for our sins. Buried in a borrowed tomb. He wasn't going to need it. That's right, amen. He wasn't going to need it just for a few days. And he was coming out of that tomb. They come to where he was, wondering how we're going to get the stone rolled away. And they come there and found the stone was already rolled away. And it didn't roll away the stone so he could get out. We know it. They rolled the stone away that we could get in to see that he wasn't there. Can I tell you tonight, do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Sometimes we believe he died for the sins of the world. But for you to be saved, sir, ma'am, you got to believe that he died for your sins. Because when you believe that he died for your sins, you're admitting that you're a sinner. The reason a lot of people won't get saved, they never admit that they're a sinner. Because they do, I didn't do what he did, and I didn't do what them people in that prison did. And I promise you, about half them people in them prisons, you done what they done. You might not carry it out with your hands, but you carry it out in your heart. A lot of things that happened in there. The only reason some people didn't do them, you was afraid of getting in trouble with the law. It wasn't you was afraid of getting in trouble with the Lord. Sometimes we're afraid we get in trouble with the law. Well, we ought to be worried about the trouble we're in with God instead of the law. Amen. Y'all still with me? Amen. He died and he was buried. And I like this last part. And he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Amen. I'm glad he didn't stay in that bar. He didn't stay on that cross. He didn't stay in that tomb. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The Bible goes on to say he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen of James and the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Can I tell you, if we look at the scripture here, do you say, well, how do we know that he arose from the... Some people question, was he really dead on that cross? You mean to tell me them Roman professional executors that knew how to do their job and done their job, I believe worse on him. He may even harsher on him than any other man. You mean to tell me the man that jobbed that spear up in his side that come by to check to break his legs, that he didn't have to break his legs because he was already dead? The professional executors, you mean to tell me they missed that one? I don't believe that. I believe he died. I believe he was dead. I believe he was buried. And I believe he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. He was seen of Cephas. If one person sees you do something, you're probably going to get arrested. 12 people seen you do something, you're probably going to trial. 500 people see you do something, I believe you're guilty. I believe he's guilty. Being the Savior of the world, the I owe you, Savior of the world. I owe him everything. So you say, preacher, I'm not even saved. How will I owe him? What's God that he's kept you out of hell, sir? For such a time as this, that you could hear the gospel and believe on the Lord. Can we stand to our feet all over the house? Miss Mason.